Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. Have you ever heard people talk about the four horsemen of the apocalypse? Has anyone ever heard about this? It comes from the Bible. It comes from the Bible, chapter 6 of Revelation. And it's what it's talking about is the end of the world. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. I want to talk to you about what the Bible says concerning signs that the end is coming. Not just the sign that you hold up, that you see someone on the side of the road saying the end is coming, but signs that the Bible says we should look for that tell us the end of the world, the apocalypse is coming. Because I want you to look at the signs of our times that we're living in right now and see, are these signs, does this mean Jesus is coming soon? But I also want you to be able to use wisdom and maturity to see if what the difference is between being ready and watchful for the end versus being maybe extreme and anxious, which would be the other option if you see events that are coming. My overall goal for today's message is to wake everyone up, to make it clear that yes, there are many biblical signs pointing right now to the end of the world happening. The beginning of the birth pangs is what the Bible says. But I also want you to understand that many of these same signs have happened lots of times in the past as well. Because just because they're present doesn't mean that we know anything for sure about when the end is coming, just that we know the end is coming. This should put us in a position of readiness, of watchfulness, a position of repentance and faithfulness. But we shouldn't be scared, and we also shouldn't say that we know more than we think we do, or try to use these signs for our own benefit. In Gray Bowl, Wyoming, there is a sign that says, there's a sign for Wall Drug. You heard of Wall Drug before, South Dakota? There's this sign in Gray Bowl, Wyoming that says 364 miles to Wall Drug. Now that's funny. It's a marketing thing. It's a marketing ploy. And people have made signs all over the world with about this store in South Dakota. But just because you see a sign for Wall Drug doesn't mean that it's coming very soon. Even though it does mean if you stay on that road, it is coming eventually. The same can be said for the end of the world. What I hope that you take away from this message is that, yes, Jesus is coming again, soon. In your lifetime, maybe, maybe not. But we need to be ready for it. And the events of today tell us that the time to return to God is now. Not tomorrow, not next week, now. Because these signs are important. Now, if you go outside in the morning and the sky is gray and it's really humid and you hear a little thunder in the distance, you should probably bring along an umbrella. Does that mean it's going to rain? Definitely? No, not definitely. But you might feel kind of stupid if you leave later on in the day and you didn't bring your umbrella because you saw the signs, you probably should have brought one. It's the same thing about the signs of the end of the world. We will feel pretty stupid if we've seen these signs. We know that Jesus is coming soon, but we didn't prepare, and then we're caught unaware. So, Jesus once said, when evening comes, you say it will be fair weather for the sky is red. And then the morning today it will be stormy for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, Jesus said, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. Hopefully after today, you'll be able to interpret some biblical signs a little bit better. The four horsemen appear in Revelation chapter 6. I'm going to go through each one and explain what the horseman signifies and where we can see that sign today. Revelation chapter 6, starting at verse 1. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. Can anyone think of a place in the world right now where someone is trying to take over another country? How about Russia invading Ukraine? It's kind of a big deal. You might have seen it on the news. Now, I don't know why Putin has decided that conquering Ukraine is so important all of a sudden, but apparently he believes it's worth turning the entire world against him. But God tells us that this type of attitude that's bent on conquest, when people start acting this way, it's an important sign to pay attention to, that you can expect that the end of the world is coming. But even as we recognize this sign, this important sign, we also need to be mature and not just freak out about it. Because obviously, if you know your history, this isn't the first time in world history where one country has tried to conquer another one. It has happened many times. In fact, Christians believed that the end of the world was coming during World War I. Christians believed the end of the world was coming in World War II. They had good reason to believe this, but it didn't happen yet. So even as we prepare ourselves, because we recognize this sign, we have to trust that God's timing isn't always our timing. The end is near, yes, but it still might not be yet. In the book of 2 Peter, we read that to God, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. So don't stock up your underground bunker just yet, but get your life in order, because the day of the Lord is coming soon. And it can come at any moment. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. So the second horseman, the fiery red one, it's about violence. His job is to take away peace and encourage people to hurt and kill one another. Just in our country, things that, like, I've grown up with things just being a certain way, but it feels like in the last decade or two, things have changed and become a lot more violent. I was thinking about this as we're celebrating July 4th. We've had a couple centuries of peaceful transitions. A year and a half ago, that didn't happen. People were rioting at our Capitol, at the White House, violently and threatening to kill our vice president. I mean, this has happened recently, but for centuries, that never happened. Even though people were still arguing and disagreeing, this is a new type of thing that's happening. Are you raising your hand, Destiny? What did you want to say? Nothing. Think about some other things. We've had guns in our country for a really long time. So why is it that in the last two decades, we have all of these shootings? I mean, school shootings. People would probably bring guns to school a long time ago when they went to country school. Nowadays, people are shooting each other all the time. Why is this? It seems like there is an increase in violence, at least in our country. And yet, even as we see this sign of in our lives as Americans, we must recognize that violence is happening and has been happening around the world for a really long time. There's been a civil war in the country of Yemen since 2014. 233,000 people have died since then. We don't even pay attention. Like, we don't even know it's happening. Or like there's a civil war in South Sudan since 2013. The latest number I had was 400,000 people died. That was in 2018, 4 years ago. My point is there's always violence in the world, someplace. We just don't recognize it unless it's happening near us. So is this truly a sign, this violence, this increase in violence? Yeah, I believe that violence that we're experiencing is definitely a sign of something coming. Does that mean that it's coming tomorrow? Maybe. Maybe not. I believe that Jesus is coming, but I'm not going to say that I know exactly when. Jesus said no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. So again, we prepare, but we also wait and trust that God knows what he's doing and that his timeline is not going to be the same as ours. I always think it's a little egotistical that we always think Jesus is going to come again in our lifetime. There have been lots of people that thought that. Who says it's when we're going to be alive? That doesn't mean that he's not coming. It's just maybe we need to wait and trust. The third horseman. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." This biblical passage is talking about economic instability, explaining that commodity prices are going through the roof. The prices mentioned here would have been 10 times what they normally were, which meant that people were going to starve due to this economic injustice. Again, can anybody see any signs of inflation in our world today? I think so. Gas prices doubled or tripled. Food prices are increasing all over the world, not just where we live. This is an important sign for all of us to recognize. But once again, let's be honest. This isn't the first time our country has experienced economic instability. It probably won't be the last. During world wars, people were given butter and bacon rations. There was the Depression, which people are still alive that lived through this, where prices were crazy. I mean, yet we also need to recognize that this is indeed a difficult time economically, and God says that that is a sign of the upcoming apocalypse or the end of the world. All of these things can be true. It's happened before. It's happening now. We should pay attention, but we shouldn't freak out. But we should prepare, and we should wait. All of these things are true. Finally, we come to the fourth horseman. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death. And Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. This pale horse signifies death, disease, famine. Can anyone think of a recent worldwide plague? Perhaps you might call it a pandemic. COVID affected every nation on the earth. And God calls us to recognize that, yes, that is a sign that the end is near. And yet, still, we know that COVID could have been so much worse. And there have been much worse plagues in our world before this. The pandemic of 1918 infected a third of the world's population. A tenth of those people died. So was COVID bad? Yes. Could COVID have been worse? Yes. Has it been worse in the past? Yes. Should we still prepare ourselves for the probability that the end is coming? Yes. Does that mean it will come in our lifetime? We don't know. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says this, Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming, I'm the Messiah, and will deceive many. But these things are just the beginning of the birth pangs. He talks about there are going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be these things. But they're just the beginning of the birth pangs. You know, you've maybe heard of these Braxton Hicks contractions that if you're pregnant, it can feel like you're going into labor. So just because you're having a Braxton Hicks contraction doesn't mean that the baby is coming right then. But the baby's still coming. It may not be coming right then, but you need to prepare because it's still on its way. So if someone uses these signs of the times to convince you to do something, you need to be careful. There are some people that will try to have you give them money because the end of the world is coming. Be careful with that. Even if they're correct, they may be deceiving you for their own gain. There are some people that are going to want to have more power and convince you to put them in positions of power because the end of the world is coming. They may be right, the end is coming, but they may also be just trying to get more power for themselves while the time lasts. If someone tells you that they know the day that Jesus is coming, you can be sure they don't. But that doesn't mean he isn't coming, and it might be sooner than you think. So then, since we know that the end is coming, and we see all of these signs, what are we supposed to do to prepare? First, you repent of your sins. Do not risk being caught doing the wrong thing when Jesus comes. If you are involved in a lie that you think you can just get away with for long enough, I promise you, Jesus will come like a thief in the night. Will Jesus still love you? Yes, he will. Will you still be embarrassed and ashamed? Yes. We don't want that. Because we're Christians, we want to turn away from our sins and be seen by God as following him as closely as we possibly can. Second, we stay faithful to Jesus. In the midst of violence and economic instability, with the fear of war and the threat of disease, it's easy to doubt God's love and seek comfort in other things. But instead, we're supposed to stay faithful to God, and that means to continue to worship God, to grow in our relationship with him through praying, through Bible study. But we overcome the evil in the world, not by running away from it. The idea that the end of the world is coming and you're supposed to get in an underground bunker and pile up bunches of food or gold, that to me just does not seem like what Jesus calls us to do at all. He says that if the end is coming, that's time to love your neighbor as yourself. It's time to share God's love and his message as often and as much as you can, to let people know how much God loves them and to know that these signs are real and that Jesus wants them to be his followers. So face the threats in the world by doing what you can to love other people. Don't try to escape the world and just take care of yourself. See what you can do to share that message of love with others so that they might find the peace of God to trust him through these difficult times as well. Throughout Revelation, it says that to the one who overcomes, who stays faithful, Jesus will crown them with victory. I want you to leave you with this message of hope that I found in Revelation 19. Because the devil and his minions are not the only one that get to ride horses. It says in Revelation 19, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, Jesus has already won the battle against sin, death, and the devil. Jesus has promised us that he will battle the forces of conquest and violence and economic instability and disease, and that he will win the battle. This last spring, I sat in one of the most miserable, cold, pouring rain nights watching my son Malachi play a soccer game. That if they won the game, they would go to state soccer. That's a state soccer tournament. It was so miserable. It was one of the most miserable nights that I can remember in my life. And I kept thinking, if they lose this game, I am going to be so unhappy. It will make this experience so much worse. But they won. It was great. That made it bearable, you know, to know that I had sat through this thing and they had won. But I wonder if it would have been more enjoyable if I had known the entire time that they were going to win, that I was going to be present for the victory celebration that they would be celebrating soon. But see, that's how we can live the rest of our lives, knowing that no matter how great the suffering is that we're going through, no matter how many wars, no how much violence, no matter how much economic instability or threat of disease that we have to live through, that Jesus has already won. We are just waiting to celebrate the victory with him. So get ready. Prepare. The end of the world appears to be coming soon. And yet, be patient, because it may still be a long way off. We can see the signs. So we prepare for that day, even as we trust God to bring it to pass when the time is right in his eyes. Amen.